Welcome back, everybody, to Omid Yomi. Today we are up to Daf Ayin Ches Med Beis 78b, and we are on the bottom of Daf Ayin Ches Med Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to continue in our discussion as to what we've been talking about how much of certain materials and items you need to carry in order to be chayav on Shabbos. It says the Mishnah, Motzi Chevel, someone who takes out a rope. Kedei lasos ozen lekupa. You are going to be chayav when you take out the amount that is enough to make a handle for a basket. Get me if you take out reed grass. So kedei lasos tlai lenafu lekvara. So you're going to be chayav when you take enough to make a hanging loop around a sieve or a sifter, which is a smaller amount, and that's how much you're going to take to be chayav. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says, "Kedei litol mimenu midas mina lekatan." The measure of this reed grass is if you take enough to measure a child's foot, so that way you know what size shoe is, so you can just go to the store and pick out the shoe without having to measure. So that's the amount you're going to be chayav. Niyar, let's say someone takes out paper. How much paper do you need to be chayav on Shabbos? Kedei lichtov alav kesher mochsin. Enough to be able to write a tax collector's receipt on it. So this is either talking about someone who's paid a tax or someone who passed a toll, showing that they wouldn't need to pay a certain thing. So it's generally a paper that has two large Greek letters on it. We're going to talk more about this in the Gemara. That's how much paper you would need to be carrying out in order to be chayav on Shabbos. Hamotzi kesher mochsin chayav. Someone who takes out a tax collector's receipt is going to be chayav. Again, the Gemara is going to discuss this. Niyar machluk. So if someone takes out erased paper, so it's erased to the point where you can't write on it again. Kedei lichroch al slochus kitana shel palyaton. So you're going to be chayav if you take enough of that it could be used as like a bottle cap for oil. Or if you take out skin, animal skin, kedei lasos kameah. So enough to make an amulet. That's how much you're going to have to carry in order to be chayav. Klaf. If someone takes out klaf, kedei lichtov alav parsha kitana shel tefillin. Enough to take out the smallest paragraph in the tefillin, which is shehi shema Yisrael. Dio, ink, how much ink are you going to be chayav for taking out? Kedei lichtov shtei osios, enough to write two letters. Kol eye paint, kedei lichol ayin achas, enough to paint one eye. Tevek, when talking about glue, kedei litim rosha shafshaf, enough to place on the head of a board. Zephis vegafris, pitch or sulfur, kedei lasos nekev, enough to form a hole. Shava, wax, kedei litin api nekev katan, enough to place on the opening of a small hole. Charsis, crushed brick, kedei lasos pi core shell tzorfei zahav, enough to make an opening for these goldsmiths to go ahead and do what they need to do with the gold. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, kedei lasos pitput, enough to make a tripod. That's how much you're going to be chayav for carrying out this crushed brick. Subin, when it comes to brain, kedei litin api core shell tzorfei zahav, enough to place into a fire to help melt the gold and help in that process. Sid, when it comes to this lime, which is some sort of hair removal system, kedei lasod kitana shel banos, enough to smear on the littlest of girls. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, kedei lasos kilkul, enough to make the hair on the temples flat, to flatten your hair. Nechemi Omer, Nechemi says, kedei lasod undepi, enough to smear on your forehead. So these are all different shiurim as to how much you'd be chayav for carrying out all these different types of things. Now the Gemara is going to go and analyze the Mishnah. So the first thing we said was this rope, you have to go ahead and make a handle for a basket. So why can't we use this smaller shear of making this hanging loop for a sifter or a sieve? So enters the Gemara, kiven decharik b'mana lo avde inche. Since the rope doesn't really fit with the sieve, it's just not going to work. A rope fits with the basket, and that's why we have to have it that way, because it just wouldn't work. Tan Rabban and Rabbi Shimon Bar-Yochai, Hutzin. More things which someone's going to be chayav for carrying out the minimum quantities of these things. So what are we talking about? So if someone holding palm branches, kedei lasos ozen lasal kfifa mitzris. So you're going to be chayav if you carry enough to make a handle for a basket made of palm branches. Siv, if someone's taking out some sort of vines around a palm tree. Achirim omrim kedei litein al pi mashpech katan. So some say that for these vines, you're going to be chayav for carrying out enough to place on the mouth of a small funnel, lasan in the yain, to strain the wine, to help the wine go through, to sift it. Revav, if someone takes out grease, kedei lasoch tachas ispagin kitana. So if someone takes out grease, you're going to be chayav if you take enough to smear it on the bread before you put it in the oven. They used to stick bread onto the sides of the oven to make bread, so you would have enough to smear it over there. Rekamashira, and how much is that? Kisela, it's the amount of a sela coin. That's how large this wafer was. Av hatani kigro geres. But another brisa says that the wafer must be as large as a dried fig. Idividichachi, or rather, answers the Gemara, they are the same thing. A sela and a grogeres are the same thing. Now Gemara continues its brisa of more things you are chayav for carrying with certain amounts. So mochin, if someone takes out cotton, kedei lasos kadra katana, enough to make a small ball. Vakama shiro, and how much is this shear of this small ball that you're going to be chayav for? Ka'egos, the size of a nut. Now the Mishnah went and said, niyar kedei lichtov alav kesher mochsin, that you're going to be chayav for carrying out paper if you take enough to write some sort of tax collector's receipt upon it, or something that said that you went through the toll. So how much is that? So Tana was taught in a brisa, kama kasher mochsin, so how large is this tax collector's receipt? Shtei osios bechsav yivani. It's talking about something which is able to have two letters written in Greek script, which is larger than regular script. So two large letters, that's how much someone's going to be chayav for if you have a paper of that size. Reminu, but we'll ask you a contradiction from a different price. A different price that tells us that if you take out a blank paper and it's a size to have two letters written on it, then you're going to be chayav, but if not, then it's not. But it doesn't say anything about these bigger letters. It seems like it's just even average size letters. So how can we possibly say that it has to be talking about these two big Greek letters if it, the brisa seems to clearly tell us it could just be two regular size letters? So interesting. So Rav Sheshes says, really, when it says shtei osios over here in the second brisa, it's really talking about Greek letters, and we always go by these bigger letters when talking about carrying on chops. Rava Amar, though, Rava disagrees, and he says, shtei osios didan ubeis achiza dahainu kesher mochsen. What we're really talking about in the second brisa is saying that it's two smaller letters, like we generally have in Hebrew, but it's also saying that you need to have a blank margin to serve as a place to hold the paper if you're going to be carrying it out. So you have to have this margin plus the two regular size letters, and that together equals these two letters written in Greek. So really, it's the same thing. But ask the Gemara on Rava's answer and challenges it. Meisve, we have a brisa which seems to go against Rava. Hamotzi niyar machok ushtar perua. If someone has erased paper or a paid loan document, im yesh b'loven shelo kedei lechtov shtei osios, if there's enough on its margins enough to write two letters, o b'kulo kedei lechroch al pitzlochis ketana shel p'yaton, or if there's enough paper in its entirety that you could use it as one big bottle cap, chayev, then you are going to be chayev, im lav, then you are going to be pater. So now comes the Gemara and explains the question. Bishlam or Rav Sheshes, so it's understandable according to Rav Sheshes, damar mash shtei osios, shtei osios shel kasher mochsen, who said, what are these two letters we're talking about? It's all always talking about Greek letters. Shapir, so this brisa makes sense, because the two letters that we're talking about are the same two letters that are always on these tax collectors' receipts. Elul Rava, but according to Rava, who said that it's really talking about our regular letters and just the margin, Damar Shtei Osios Didanu Beis Achiza, that it's talking about our two letters plus the margin that you have to be able to hold it, Dahainu Kesher Mochsen, which is the same size as the tax collector's receipt, then we have a problem, because Hacha Beis Achiza Lo Tzarech. Over here, we don't need this whole Beis Achiza, we don't need this holding place, because you have either the erased section or you have the other part of the section that was written upon that you could use to carry. You don't need this extra handle. You don't need this extra margin. So his whole shear wouldn't make any sense within this brisa. So Kasha answers the Gemara, you're right, in Achanami, this is a little bit difficult. But now the Mishnah went on. The Mishnah told us, someone who takes out a tax collector's receipt, a receipt that says that you've paid your taxes, if you carry that out on Shabbos, you are going to be chayv. So the Gemara goes and elaborates on this halacha. So Rabban Rabba starts in a brisa. Motzi kesher mochsen. If someone takes out a tax collector's receipt, the halacha is, achelo herau l'mochis chayv. If it, you have not yet shown it to the tax collector, then of course you're going to be chayv because this is a very valuable document that you are holding. Misha hareu lemochais pater. But once the tax collector has seen it, then this document is useless because you've already shown it to him, and therefore you are going to be pater for carrying it out because it serves no use. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says, af misha hareu lemochais chayv. You're also going to be chayv even after you've shown it to the tax collector, but they should tzarech lo, because you still need it. So my binai, what are they really arguing about? The Tanakamu says that after you've shown it to the tax collector, it's useless. Rabbi Yehuda says that no, it's still for a purpose and you would still be chayv. What does Machlokas really about? Amar Abaye comes Abaye with the first of three answers. He says, Ika benayu rihiti muksa. The difference between them is whether you are going to want to keep this receipt for tax collectors, meaning let's say there's an audit. So do you want to keep this receipt? Yes, you may have shown it to him now, but let's say you want to keep it for your records. So the Tanakhama says you're not going to want to keep it for your records. That's why you're going to be puzzled because it's useless. But as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you would be chayev because you want to be able to keep good tax records just in case. Rava Amar Rava says, mochis gadol, mochis katanik benar. The difference between these two answers is because a lot of times they used to have a chief tax collector who would do the initial look, and then there was like an intern or someone else who was working for the guy who would also look at the taxes. So once you've already shown it to the chief, do you want to keep it for the second guy? So the Tanakhama felt there's no need. Rav Yehuda said you always want to keep it because you never know who's going to come around. And look, Rav Ashi gives a third explanation. He says, Chan mochez ika benayu. We're really talking about a case where there's one tax collector. Rav Yehuda holds that you're still going to want to show it to a second tax collector because you want to show this person in the future, like, look, I'm a guy who pays my taxes, just take a look at this. So it's something that's going to increase your credibility, so something which is going to be useful. So that's the machlokas, whether it's a valuable document even after you've shown it to the tax collector or not. Now the Gemara comes with a similar dispute about a loan document, and it gets a little intriguing in this discussion. So, Tana Rabbanan Rabbi Stan Surprise. Amotzi Shtarchov, if someone takes out a loan document, so the halacha is as follows. Achelo paro chayev, if it has not yet been paid back, then you're going to be chayev because it's a very valuable document. Misha paro, but once it has been paid back, putter, then you're going to be putter because now it's a useless document. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the same type of machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda says, Af misha paro chayev, misha tzarchlo. Even once it has been paid, it's still a valuable document, this loan document, so therefore you are going to be chayev because it is still needed. Now, notice how it's very unclear about whether the borrower court or the lender has it. So the Gemara is going to have many different explanations as to what exactly this machlokas is. Ask the Gemara, my benayu, what are they really arguing about? Again, the Tanakhama says that once it has been paid back, it is a useless document and you can carry it because it's useless. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's still useful, so therefore you need to be careful with it. So the Gemara has four different shitas as to what's going on here. So I'm Rav Yosef, the first shita. Asr lashos shtar parua ike benayu. The difference between them is that it's machlokas whether after the loan has been paid back, after the borrower pays back the lender, is the lender allowed to keep that document or not? Rabbanan tzavri asr lashos shtar parua. The Rabbanan hold that the Tanakhama, that you are not allowed to hold on to this document. The lender has to rip this up. It is not allowed to hold on to. You have to give it back to the borrower because we're afraid you're going to go and collect twice. That is something which could be very bad. So you're not allowed to hold on to this document. So once it's already paid back, then it is a useless document. Rabbi Yehuda savar, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And he says mutar lashos shtar parua, that you are allowed to go and hold on to this shtar, and therefore you could be used as a bottle cap or something. So it is useful, and therefore you would be ever carrying it out. So again, the machlokas would be, the first explanation is whether the lender is allowed to hold on to this document even after it's been paid. Abaye Amar, Abaye comes and says, Dukuyama Asr Lasho Shtar Parua. No, really everyone agrees that it is usur for the lender to go and hold on to this document after it's been paid back, because we're afraid you're going to collect twice. So what's the real machlokas? V'hacha, b'moda b'shtar shekusavo shetzarach l'kaimo kamifligi. We're really talking about a different case. The case is as follows. Let's say the borrower comes to court and says, this whole document that the lender made against me, it's all false. It's fake, it's bogus, it doesn't exist. So there, what would have to happen, the lender would have to either bring some witnesses who signed onto this thing, he'd have to bring those witnesses, or bring some other proof that it does exist, that it is a true document, and then he would be able to collect. However, let's say this lender wants to collect with a certain document, and the borrower is giving him a hard time, but the borrower is not denying that the thing is true. He's saying, it is a real document, but I already paid you back. So in that case, he is authorizing it, he's showing that it's a real document, but he is claiming that he already paid back. So now, do you need further proof as the lender in order to collect? Or do we just say, once the borrower has now verified that this is a true document and it's correct, so since the document is still in the lender's hand, so he's going to owe the money? Meaning, we believe part of what he said. We believe what he said, that it's a true document, but we wouldn't believe that he already paid, because otherwise he should have the document, but the lender still has the document. So the machlokas in our case is, in this type of situation, is there further verification needed in order for the lender to collect this money or not? That's really what they're arguing about. Tanakama savra moda b'shtar shekusavo tzarach l'kaimo. So the Tanakama holds that even after you have the borrower admit that this is a true document, but he claimed that he paid it, the lender cannot collect until he verifies this with his edim or with some other edim or some other way. So therefore, this document is worthless right now because he can't use it to collect until something else happens. So therefore, you're not going to be chayav for carrying it on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda savra. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and he says moda b'shtar shekusavo ein tzarach l'kaimo. Yehuda says that once the borrower admits that this is a verified document, you no longer need any proof further, and the lender would be able to collect, and therefore this is a very valuable document, and therefore you would be chayav for carrying it on Shabbos. So if this is true, if this is the real pshat, so what does the brisa mean when it has been paid or when it has not been paid? So rather what it means, really what it's talking about is whether the borrower said, I repaid or I did not repay. Those are going to be the different cases in the brisa, but that's really the case that they're arguing about over there. Now comes the Gemara with a third explanation. Rava Amar Rava says, everyone agrees that in order for the lender to collect, you would need further proof, meaning that we do believe the borrower to say that he paid back once he verified the loan. And really, the Bryce is dealing with a different situation, a different machlokas. Rather, it's a case where the court verified that this is a true loan and there does need to be a transfer of payment. So now the lender comes and says, okay, I want you to pay me back, and I agree that I will acknowledge this as the payment you're about to pay me, but I don't have the initial document to give to you that you could just rip up and kind of show that you've already paid back your debt. So I don't have that. So what I'll do is instead, I'll write up a receipt that says that you paid me back and I'll give it to you. So is this going to work? Because on the one hand, the lender says, this is now verification that you paid me back. This is good. But now the borrower is saying, I'd rather just have a document that I could rip up. Like, let's say you find this thing down the road and I lose my receipt, then I'm in trouble. I don't want to be responsible for always knowing where this receipt is. So this is really the case of the machlokes. Are you allowed to write up such a receipt when we don't have the initial document? Tanakama savar, kosvin shover, Rabbi Yehuda savar, in kosvin shover. So the Tanakama says, you are allowed to write this document. Therefore, once the loan is paid and you have this receipt, so the initial document, once it's found, is worthless, and therefore you can carry it on Shabbos because it's useless. But Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says you're not allowed to write such a shtar, and therefore the initial loan document is still very important, and that's why you would be chayav for carrying on Shabbos. Rav Ashi, Amar Rav Ashi disagrees, and he says a fourth pshat as to what this machlokas is about. Really, it's talking talking about a borrower, and it's after the loan has been paid back, and he now has this document within his possession. So normally he'd rip it up, or he's in control of it. So the document is really worthless to the love, but still it's useful for the borrower. Why? Because he's going to show it to different people who want to lend him money in the future and say, look, I have this document that shows I paid back. I have good credit. You should lend me money. So we see that this is what the machlokas is about, whether this is a good claim or not. So Rabbi Yehuda clearly says yes, and that's why it's going to be a useful document. The Tanakhama says no, once it's paid back, it's already useless. That is Daf Ayin Chesem and Beis. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.